Off the Ball Breakfast.
GAA players are in amazing shape. Their fitness is incredible. They look professional in every aspect of it, but amazingly, like, these people still have jobs.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Very good morning to you. Well, it's Thursday, the weekend's coming. Tom English is going to join us 8:05. Looking back on Celtic's 0-0 draw last night and Rangers 3-1 defeat the night before. Will Genia, masterpiece of timing yesterday, took to social media to announce his full-time retirement. We had him on about 3 or 4 weeks ago and he was like, I'm still playing. But officially now he has retired. It's also maybe the best week in Australian rugby since they won the World Cup. Is it?
What, since 99? Sorry, you hadn't finished.
No, I hadn't. Maurice Brosnan's coming out. Well.
You'd be more excited about that now, would you?
Than what?
Maurice Brosnan's coming.
I'd be more excited than I just said I was. Yeah, I'm sorry, but it was just gone. It was like
we've actually always talked about Maurice, don't we?
We do. We haven't talked to him since Mayo and Dublin made their announcements about who the managers are going to be.
Yeah,
the managerial payment scandal, the brewing scandal.
The John Bruin scandal, which we had a good conversation about yesterday. And then Maurice has written in his newspaper today. Is print journalism dying? He wrote today, goals are up, so what now for the two-pointer? So just to set the piece up for later, one stat here. 2024 season, GEA, the average goal per game, 2.1. 2025, care to hazard a guess?
2.3.
Wow. I didn't work that out so quickly, man. Yeah, so it's marginally up. Now, I believe we actually had this statistic right after the All-Ireland final, but Maurice has brought it back, has written a piece around it.
Yeah, and
we should talk to him about it.
The greatest footballer of all time has lent his voice to the notion that the 4 points for the goal should be something we should maybe have a look at again.
Also, yeah, that's also mentioned here. That basically, 4 points for a goal would be great between two equal sides. You could have a thriller, if you will. Division 3 against Division 1, not so much.
Tonight is an absolutely massive night for football in Ireland. Obviously, incredible scenes yesterday, and I know the lads talked about it, for the Bradley family when Josh rang the bell for the end of his cancer treatment. They, Shamrock Rovers, are up against Santa Clara in the Azores tonight at 8 o'clock. Shelburne take on Linfield at 7:45. The game is on telly on RTE tonight. What's rare is wonderful.
It worked.
Tyreek Wilson, Jack Henry Francis and Sam Bone are back fit. If Jack Henry Francis plays tonight, that'll be his Shelburne debut. Very excited to see what he's going to be able to do. He was astonishingly good last year for Sligo and it's a big signing for them. But they've got to beat Linfield again. Would you be sickened looking at the same faces that you've already beaten in one competition? It's like, oh shit, you can knock us out. You can steal our dreams. You can take our deposit for a mortgage.
Yeah. Well, the motivation will be there overall. But it is interesting playing the same team again.
Yeah. You can go one or two ways. Like, it's like if they lose, it's like, God, there's a bit of fatigue there. But if you win, then it's like, yeah, sure, we got to know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have their numbers, so to speak.
David Healy says we're a much different team. We hadn't played any games. It was the...
To be fair, they weren't matched this.
Pre-season, there's going to be 6 or 7 changes. We're where we want to be right now.
Yeah.
And they did... The bones of what he's saying in the dressing room was people around the League of Ireland were delighted that we got this. We could have done with somebody else. We would have preferred somebody else. A bit weird the competition is structured this way. Mm. So he did the two build up to the game. He did the Jim McGuinness, these guys are amazing, which work out. But he also did the people are writing us off.
Yeah.
So if they win after the second leg, people in the League of Ireland, they don't respect us up here. They think we're just a little tin pot league, which we don't. You know, I mean, the strength and conditioning in the league could be a little bit better. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so that's one game. And then Shamrock Rovers as well go to the far reaches of the Azores. Do you know how far away that is from Portugal? It's insane. It's like 1500 kilometres away from mainland Portugal.
Yeah, it's basically Africa.
It is mad.
It is like it's a bit like why they speak Portuguese in Brazil, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's Jojo.
The boy will tell you. I don't know.
Colonialism.
But their stadium is meant to resemble UCD's.
What?
Meant to be very open. It's extremely open.
I thought she meant built to resemble it. Why would they do that?
They were inspired by it. It looks like it. One of the cohorts was comparing it to it. But like, in a way, for Santa Clara in the Portuguese league's a nightmare. Like, they have to travel huge distances per game.
Yeah. Like Plymouth.
If Rovers were to get through against the Portuguese side, that would be absolutely astonishing. But Shelburne, for the sake of the league, and I know nobody else outside of the Shelburne fans really want to hear this. The league needs Shells to get through. The league needs to make this progress. The league needs a strong Shells, a strong Bows, and everybody else to challenge Rovers, because Rovers are going nowhere. They've got the best academy. They've got the best stadium, which, you know, is fair play to them. And they've got their house in order. So they've also got the best squad by a mile. To the point where they can leave Jack Byrne out of the squad.
Jack Byrne.
Santa Clara finished fifth last.
That's the reaction, isn't it?
Portuguese league.
Yeah.
To that name.
Yeah. And do you know what that is? There's a great piece in that.
Yeah.
When he's, how do you say someone's name?
Jack Byrne.
Now, would you want to live with Gerard Gilroy?
Could have been.
He had it in the palm of his hand at one point. Irish media.
What a dickhead. Shots fired at 7:36.
Hi, man.
Before we came on air.
Hi, man.
Before
it's the boss, managing director.
Whoa. Before we came on air, we were asking Dara if he'd seen the movie Supersonic, which is the documentary that Oasis made about.
I've been out of here.
And we asked him, did you go to the gig? Did you try for tickets? And tell us what you said.
I said I did try, yeah, and didn't get them. And I thought I'd have a serious case of FOMO once it did come around. But when it did come around, I was just quite happy for the people I saw on the stories and friends that were going. I was like, you know what? That's just a lovely thing, isn't it?
And it's a genuinely lovely character sign.
This way on camera. Nice guy. This guy on camera. Oh, I've gone the wrong way. Shit, that didn't work. This guy, nice guy. This guy.
Why do you want to say that? Why have I been pulled into this as well?
Like? In contrast to you, Ian. Dara, nice. You.
Why would you say that?
It's in following.
Talk me through it.
We're following on for the last minute. You see, the way you don't even pay attention to what you just said.
No, I did. I'm just can't believe it.
087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number.
You have such vast vocabulary. You could have said anything. Dare I say, you could have said it with a bit of charm. You know? I might have laughed then, you know.
Why did you make us bring our football boots in today?
Yeah.
But you watched Supersonic, though.
I did, yeah.
I'm very happy that you did. And watched over two nights. And you want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's very good. I didn't realise the seminal impact it had in your life, though.
Yeah, it's huge, yeah.
You quote it without attributing it a lot.
Yeah, well, it would have made no bones to you at all.
No,
up
but
until last night. I don't quote it, actually.
It's
There's not a famous quote from it or anything.
People know, but you have consumed it so much it has by osmosis passed into your philosophy on life.
Someone edited Liam Gallagher's thoughts and standing on stage in front of a visceral crowd, and they put it to the footage of Croke Park the other day.
You knew immediately where that was from. They didn't.
But that wouldn't be any great achievement. Like, that wouldn't be any mastermind.
It's just one
topic.
Thing he said in the middle of like.
I think if anyone watched Supersonic once, they would be like, "That's from that documentary."
No, I wasn't.
But you had seen it last night, and it's a part of it last night. That's about Earl's Court in 1995, and it's a big part of the documentary. I think if you'd seen it, it wasn't a great thing to achieve. Like that. Quote has been clipped numerous times since that documentary was out.
Okay, I hadn't seen it before.
But you're only reacclimatizing with your Oasis love now the last week. Yeah, you have to get back into it. I'll leave you get back into it, like Linfield.
I had no interest in watching Supersonic when it came out.
There you go.
I kind of had my hull sickened by the whole thing.
A lot of people were sick to the sick
when
to
when
death.
When did it come out? What year was it?
2016.
Just at the very end of Colm's career with Joe. One of the last pieces you wrote.
Yeah, how'd you know that?
Was a listicle of 17, 19 things you need. Because I went and read it.
Okay.
I read all your stuff around that.
That's quite nice.
Last night.
That's quite nice.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to express the love with words, but he does it with actions. He does it with actions. Yeah. That's the nicest thing. Why did you bring your red boots in?
Well, it's
to bring
funny,
your boots
it's,
to work day.
It's funny you said that. There was, anyway, should I start reading out your stuff? Would you like me to?
You're a bit angry.
Not at all.
You're
We went for we should talk about Eberechez before we indulge ourselves, shouldn't we?
John Duggan, we just say John Duggan in the office is absolutely crestfallen by this news.
Well, let me tell you how it's playing out for in our comments. Wonder how Bobby Dwyer feels this morning about the Eze news, asks Dermot Keenan on YouTube. One of the most embarrassing moments of my life as a Spurs fan, and I've had a fair few over the years, says Bobby Dwyer.
So what's happening, Dur? Arsenal have gazumped Spurs last minute.
Can I just say,
you were going for it yesterday, I know. Yeah, do your lap.
Can I just say, I think that this signing has the potential to be of the same impact as Cantona or John Barnes. You are going to see something very special. You're like, wow. I even listen to you.
You're so clickbait.
As eavesdropping on the conversation this morning, I think you're vastly underrating this guy. Maybe because he has not terrorized your team repeatedly every time he's played against them. But the difference between like two very evenly matched sides is when somebody has the capability of doing what he's doing, and he is going to play vast minutes for Arsenal. He is going to beat out all of the competition at Arsenal.
Okay.
He will be one of their key players, and this is the start of his year. He's going to be in the England team by the end of the year, having a great World Cup.
Yeah.
That is my out there prediction.
I didn't realise that you were such a fan of Eze's.
He hammers Villa every time he plays them.
Oh, it's a Villa thing.
Physically, psychologically, he just runs them into the ground. He's been very, very good. And I actually think Mikel Arteta is the perfect manager for him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that team is crying out for somebody who can do something. And they now have somebody who can do something. Saka. Now,
what do you mean? Because there's Saka, there's Odegaard in his day, there's Rice can win a game for you. Do you mean by that? Because it could mean anything.
Close control, beating a man, pace and power. Odegaard is a lovely, nice player to have. I'm not sure he's going to be in a team that is playing a match for their lives at the gate of hell. I'm not picking him.
Where do you pick Eze for Arsenal?
Again, I think they're just going to pick forward players who will line out ostensibly in one way at one stage during the game, and 5 minutes later they'll be in different positions, which is essentially what Villa do. Any of those three players who play in front of the two holding midfielders are supposed to change around depending on where the opportunity is. It's a bit like what we were talking about with Clifford the other day. It was like, when you find a weakness, hammer it. And they'll have found the weakness in their analysis during the week. It's like there's a pocket of space at the left back and the left side of midfielder, or the deep lying number six on the left side. There's always a pocket of space there. Like, there's somebody recently was doing, who was the player's heat map of the last three seasons and how it's changed? Yuri Tielemans, maybe. Somebody, there was a reasonable piece on The Athletic about that. Mm-hmm. And there's a very specific thing that teams can do when you have players of Eberechi Eze's ability that you can't do with Gabriele Martinelli.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
And I also think that they will play him instead of Saka in some games and give Saka rest. Like, Saka's played more games at this stage of his career up until he got the hamstring ripped off the bone than most players of his age. Like,
yeah. It's his, like, seventh or eighth season in the league. Saka. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing now, Saka will say that he never wants to miss a game. He's not a guy who likes being rested. But of course, there's been an overreliance. He's probably the most relied upon player in the league, you could argue. One way or the other, Saka's definitely up there. They got Noni Madueke from the summer from Chelsea too, so he's your kind of versatile winger type who's going to fit in where it needs be. And okay, so that's your prediction for the essay for Arsenal. I would have thought Spurs was a better shout for him. I thought, as I said yesterday, I think it would really suit the psyche that he knows of with QPR and Crystal Palace. He's going to be one of the main men. Very well could be the main man at Spurs. They're crying out for a best player. They don't really have a standout best player anymore. So they're just crying out for that. He'll obviously play. They're missing Kulusevski and Maddison. There'll be a lot of pressure on him to perform, which I think he'll enjoy. And I think he'll play in his position a bit more. And he's going to play the same number of games as he would with Arsenal. They're going to have the same calendar. And that's Champions League football as well. I think Spurs is the better move for him. I think at Arsenal, he could be, my prediction would be that he'll turn out to be Jack Grealish at Man City, that he'd be an important part of the team. He may or may well not win trophies with Arsenal, but I don't think he'll be crucial for them. But let's see how it plays out, because I think you're going to have. I think you're going to have it your way. I think he's going to play for Arsenal. So
he's going to play.
We'll never know. We'll never know how he was going to do with Spurs.
He's going to be rampant. That's what I think.
That's your
fans are going to absolutely love him for what he's done now, and he's an Arsenal fan as well.
He was with them as a young fella.
Yeah.
So, I get it from Messi's point of view. I just, when the news was moving towards the Spurs angle, I found myself happier for it. But now I don't want to be in a position where he doesn't do well at Arsenal just so that I'm right about this. So I hope if he does go to Arsenal that it works out well and that you are correct.
Well, you'll be sickened about
that. Because he's a good player. He's one of the players that makes you want to watch football.
Yeah.
And there are a few of those.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There really are, like, in a systems-obsessed era, and, like, football's always had a systems, but more so than ever right now, it's lovely seeing a bit of individual flair. But, so I hope he does well.
But, like, I don't think that they have a player who's as good at carrying the ball from deep. Like, maybe that's exactly what Saka does. I don't know. I think Saka's probably slightly different. And I think their combination is going to be really important in big games in Europe and in big games in the Premier League. I think he is a superstar, like a genuine superstar. And he's going to find his level now.
And well, Michael Olise left for Bayern.
I was going to say.
So he had his 1 year on his own at Palace.
Yeah.
And it suited him. Because when the two boys were at Palace, they actually very rarely played on the same team.
Because of injuries,
yeah. But it was almost always the two of them, but slightly leaning towards Olise. Everyone was delighted when he got that move to Bayern and was like, geez, that's a huge move for him. And it's worked out fairly well for him in Germany. Yeah. So let's say he proved he could do it himself. He's wearing the number 10 jersey, as he always has, but he's playing like the number 10, the main man in the team.
And he just turned 27 as well.
So it's not like he's a young fella either. So he's ready for this, you would think, in every capacity. So I hope he flies it at Arsenal. I would have just liked to have seen him wear the white of North London.
I'm delighted for him. I think it's a transformative moment for Arsenal. He has played 34 games in the Premier League last season, 27 the year before, 38 the year before, and then the 21-22 season, only 13 games, 34 the season before that. But they're going to be a team who has a lot more of the ball than Palace, and you want him on the ball early and often, and I think he could easily double his stats. 8 goals and 8 assists last year in the Premier League.
Do you think he's a piece that will get him over the line?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the whole point. Like, obviously, when Barnes and Beardsley signed for Liverpool, they were already a great team, but it changed them. We did this conversation with Wilson. It was like, that was the beginning of the end for Liverpool. Up to that point, they had been this very controlled team who would grind out. That season, the two lads came in, and Ray Houghton, and they were the best attacking team that they'd been in 20 years, but their defensive solidity fell apart, and then obviously it takes them a long time to come back, but... I think if you were to offer Arsenal a league win now, they'd bite your hand off for it. Kill your granny.
Of course they would, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be the reason they'll win the league.
Arthur's asking, if Arsenal don't win the Premier League or the Champions League now, is that it for Arteta? I don't know. I mean, like, somebody was saying there'll still be another season the next year. Like, if they've improved,
I'm always in line with that. I think people get real definitive and final with these things. It was like, well, it has to be now or never. It doesn't. Like, a few weeks later, it starts all again. You can keep the same guy if you want to, if you think you're getting there. So what's the question? Are they continually making progress?
Yeah, another second place. Like, that's...
They've had 3 second places in a row. The consistency is amazing, but consistency don't win you much in the eyes of fans.
Consistently not good enough.
You know, it's just like, no, but they're consistently really good.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
They're not aiming for second place, though.
If you're consistently really good, you're not going viral. You got to be excellent or terrible, and he's neither.
I don't think Arsenal fans care too much about a League Cup. An FA Cup is nice, but like, you know.
But that's the thing, you see. So it's like, a trophy makes all the difference, right? And I'm a bit sceptical about that. The day itself is class, but like, you know, United have won everything but the Premier League and Champions League. Since Ferguson left. So they're always either false dawns or it's kind of shrug of the shoulders a few weeks later. Depends who you are. Depends which club. Like Palace, the FA Cup went amazing.
Well, it has been tainted by the fact they've been kicked out of.
Yeah, you know. But that's an unusual circumstance. So it's cool when things like that happen. If Arsenal win the League Cup, like he has already won an FA Cup with them. That's the one thing he has won. So if he wins another FA Cup this season, if they finish second in the league, get to the Champions League quarterfinal, and win the League Cup and the FA Cup, is that a successful season?
Yeah.
So runner up in the league. Champions League quarter final, wins the 2 domestic cups.
Well, it depends on what How do they reverse into runners up in the league? Are they pipped at the last day of the season? You know, are they 14 points behind the winners?
They're the second best team in the country.
And do they run the champions close? Do they keep a title race until April?
We'll say it's 5 points behind by the last day of the season.
I think they're making some progress there. Like, you're not sacking him after a season like that.
But the
quarter final of the Champions League is probably one round too early.
The frustration, is it? Okay, so they lose. They lose a good tie to Xabi Alonso's Real Madrid, who they just beat.
Do Xabi Alonso's Real Madrid go on and win the competition, or do they get knocked out?
They lose in the final.
Well, you know, come back to me when you're in the semi-finals again.
Arteta is an interesting one to analyse because we talked about him extensively last season as well, because it's the same conversation, but they're better squad now. But he's done a really good job, but there's a lot of frustration with him, and a lot of people are disbelieving of the fact that he can bring them to the ultimate. So he's carved this niche for himself where he's a really, really good Premier League manager. But is he great?
Now they've backed him in the transfer market, they've given him the players that he needs. Time to show us.
Yeah, I think Gyökeres would be really good. I know he had a bad first game, but I think he's going to have.
I hope you're right. I'm not sure. My one throbbing vein in the forehead is like,
he'll figure it out.
What if he's a dud?
It's a great time of the season, really, isn't it? Because you can kind of say what you want here at this point. No one's going to remember this in 6 months. It's all just feelings. It's just going by Gyökeres. So we're basing that on what he's done so far in football. But sure, it's a brand new club and an environment. And sure, who knows? Like,
the North remembers.
This guy could thrive like no one else has ever thrived in the Premier League before. Or he could be grand. That's the beautiful part of the season.
Well, he could be Stefan Gyökeres. He could be total pants.
But Gyökeres has that World Cup.
There's a strong possibility, yeah. Gyökeres also has, like...
Arsenal, if FSA goes, they're starting 11. I know I'm a big man about squad rotation for a team that plays every three days.
Oh, now you need a starting 11.
But their starting 11 on paper would be formidable.
I was going to say, like, if you look back in 10 years of that squad, you're like, how did they never win a Premier League if they don't?
Yeah, that would be the question.
Seriously.
Now, we're living in a time of very strong squads. That's the theme of this season's Premier League. Look at Liverpool, look at Manchester City. Those three squads, you could argue Jonathan Wilson certainly has for Chelsea in that regard too. There's a lot of strong squads in the Premier League this season, which is required, really.
Yeah.
We don't live in a starting 11 world anymore.
Okay.
You know?
Do we want to move off to football or?
I think we've covered the Shells and Rovers. Done a bit at Arsenal. Celtic we'll talk about with Tom English. That's looking like it's going only one direction. The owner's booed last night. Brendan Rodgers saying the question of sack the board is put to him was like, I don't think anyone's ever sacked the board, but they sacked the manager. And Brendan Rodgers strikes me as a guy who has nothing to prove at Celtic. And if they want to let him go, he'd be totally fine with that. But he's not going to go. He's not going to walk either.
His reputation has been enhanced by last season's European Cup recovery from the humiliation at the hands of Borussia Dortmund all the way to...
Well, where would you say... his reputation is now in terms of his all-time career as manager, Brendan Rodgers. So we'll say Arsenal have a stasis to them at the moment here under Arteta. Is Rodgers never been hotter than he is right now? Could he get another job in the Premier League?
Well, he got the Liverpool job, so he was obviously incredibly hot right then.
Young fella, yeah. Fairly unproven. They took a punt on him.
But it is like...
April 2014, he was at his hottest. Yeah. And looked like they're going to win the league.
But I would argue that actually... Apart from Liverpool, Man United, and Arsenal, are there any other jobs in the Premier League if Brendan Rodgers was suddenly to mutually part ways with Celtic and they became available? Are there any other jobs in the Premier League that everybody would go, no, that's ridiculous, he couldn't get that job?
Couldn't?
Yeah.
No. No. I could see him rocking up. I could see him if Eddie Howe in Newcastle, if that falls apart. Definitely see him be Newcastle manager. Thomas Frank doesn't work out. Is Brendan Rodgers new Spurs manager? Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, definitely.
So that's a level. That's a total rebuild of his reputation, which is pretty impressive.
Because I thought going back to Celtic was a bad choice, but I'd be generally against going back at all. But because I was like, what are you going to prove a second time?
Yeah.
You didn't prove the first time. And Celtic are in this purgatory state, and this is what we talked to Tom English about, is that they're so strong domestically, too strong, too easy a lot of the time, and then they can't do it in Europe, or they can't progress that far. Now, he did all right last season, but then it comes to the money. Like, they are spending, like, Championship Manager 2003 money. this summer. 1.7 million, 1.5 million free is as old transfer fees that they're using. Yeah. And they should have got the money from Europe.
They do have money. That's the thing. When we talk to Tom about this, he has in the past said that there's like the rude health. The club is in rude financial health. They're just risk averse. And at some point, you've got to put your money in, like I have on Everett Chiesi. They're so. Arsenal.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to do your predictions for us?
Arsenal.
League winners, 2025-26. You have to say Arsenal after your essay speech.
Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Forest.
Are you giving us a fifth? Mm. Nice. We don't need four. Okay.
Forest getting Douglas Luiz today.
From
that's
Juventus.
A great signing. That's great.
You're all pal.
Cheapest chips by all accounts. Mm. They're also in for mighty cash. They seem to be spending money. They seem to be spending money the way Villa spent money to get into the Champions League. This is, in fairness, this is Forest's first year in Europe. So they're going to breach the UEFA rules, knowing full well that they'll get penalised for it next year. But by that stage, they might be in the Champions League. So Villa got fined 10 million by UEFA. But the risk was that they were going to be in the Champions League. And it's like, it's one home game. Who cares? Mm-hmm. We can afford that. So
you're gone. You're going Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, top five. Who's getting relegated?
I think West Ham will be ultimately okay because they'll get rid of Potter and
Brendan Rodgers will come in.
They're so rich. They're the 15th or 16th richest club in world football in terms of the revenue that they create, and that stadium generates just. There's the cash coming. So they'll spend big at Christmas and they'll find a manager to rescue them. I don't know. I actually think this is going to be one of the most interesting. I don't think the bottom three are going to go down. Or sorry, the promoted three are going to be automatically relegated the way they have been in previous seasons. And so as you can tell, I'm filibustering now to find the three who I think will actually be worse than them.
I went for the promoted three, if that helps. You made a decision. So I went Leeds, Sunderland, Burnley.
Did hear somebody say they thought Everton were going to get in? I think Wolves have sold their best players. So I think Wolves are going to be, I think Burnley are going to go. And then after that,
Brentford?
I think there's a world in which Oliver Glasner leaves in this. So I think he's great.
They still have European football.
Yeah, so, but say Eze goes, say Guehi goes, say Wharton goes.
Is Wharton going to go anywhere before the window closes?
I don't know. Man United or after him?
Why would he go to United? Jesus, what's he doing? He's an unbelievable footballer, Adam Wharton.
He's brilliant, yeah.
Okay, so you don't know. You can't
Wolves,
decide your
Burnley,
third
and I'll stick Leeds down.
Okay, two of your three. Sunderland are staying up.
That's reverse jinx, yeah.
What are you saying?
I like Leeds.
Promoted three.
And top five?
I went last Friday. I went Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Chelsea. We didn't actually do a fifth that day. But
Slackers.
I'll go Spurs.
Spurs into fifth?
I'll go Spurs fifth, yeah. They'll have a good year under Thomas Frank.
I think Spurs will have a good year under Thomas Frank. I think Man United are going to have a good year under Ruben Amorim.
Yeah. Oh yeah, who are your underachievers of the season? We did that on Friday.
I've gone from being very hopeful
or underwhelming, whatever.
Bullish at the Giles night in the Sugar Club. Mm-hmm. Bumped into a bunch of people in the pub afterwards, and like, what's going to happen? I was like, yeah, it's going to be great. They've kept everybody. Everybody's still there. They know each other really well. They're going to be full of energy and vim and vigor. Uh-huh. And then they were so flat in the first half, and you're like, oof, this team looks like a team that hasn't been freshened up whatsoever. So my Villa, bottom half of the table.
I had Villa as my underachievers too.
Europa League champions.
What, Villa?
Mm.
Whilst underperforming domestically.
Yeah. Which would be a great season.
Oh, it makes sense.
I would take that.
Literally happened last year.
Champions League qualification.
And who's your first manager to get sacked?
I think you got to go for Potter. Karen Brady was on the radio at the weekend saying that he's a great manager, great attention to detail, he loves the players and the players love him, so it did sound like that was you know, they're deeply in bed with Potter. But I think it's going to be him.
Okay. One Farc.
Yeah, like, look, Farc is on borrowed time, but then he won his first game of the season. So that gives him at least until after the international break.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
And is it possible that...
But I think he'll go.
Is it possible West Ham lose their first three fixtures?
Yeah,
and
yeah. It's the beauty of these predictions, you know. And you're finally your player of the season?
Brescia, is he? I know.
Go for it. Go back.
He said it's going to be like Cantona coming in.
Yeah, exactly. And Cantona was seismic. Cultural. Phenomenon. Go for it.
If Arsenal are winning the league.
If Arsenal win the league.
And if Arsenal win the league, he's the winner. It's because Gyökeres has scored 22 league goals.
No. Not necessarily.
Gyökeres.
I don't think so.
Well, he has to.
So that's scored 22. You could
still think there's room for one of the two lads, Saka or Eze.
Well, I think if Arsenal win the league, they're going to give it to Declan Rice, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah.
What a man. He should have been the captain.
Your boy's going to have to do something ridiculous.
For something like this, you should hedge your bets and pick someone from a different. So it should be Erling Haaland, right? It's like if City.
Arthur went for Haaland on Friday.
You know, that's.
Because Arthur has Man City winning the league.
Then he has to be the best player in the league.
It's a smart choice, I went Liverpool Salah.
Well, so you're all doubling up. I mean, the correct thing to do is if you blow one prediction, then you at least have in your back pocket something else.
Or you have a clean sweep.
And you can still do your lap of honour by getting one of them right.
It's just a smart bet to go as a pair. David Ginola, though, won player of the year in 1999 when United won the treble.
That's how you go broke gambling. You're lumping it all on one thing.
We learned a lot from Darren Ennis yesterday, you know.
Don't gamble.
Let's do boots.
Am I not doing my top five, no?
I don't care about my opinion.
Darryl, we care about you in abundance. Didn't want to put you under that
pressure.
I'm glad
you asked, right. So, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea.
Spurs in fourth? Whoa. Yeah. What a season.
He likes it. Yeah.
Richarlison. 20 plus goals this
season.
I'm not messing.
Did you hear this news coming out about Richarlison? Could be using a make weight.
For a deal that didn't happen.
For the SA deal, rumours he'd go to Palace.
So now he's going to have the best season of his life.
Well,
he just scored
two in the first day of the season.
Is he not prone to fits of huffing, is he?
He likes the... he was started very well. He played very well against PSG in the Super Cup.
Yeah.
He likes a big game. Backed it up against a game that wouldn't be prime time. Burnley, 3 o'clock at home.
Yeah.
Played very well. Scored two. Second goal of which was probably going to be goal of the month.
It is amazing that they managed to screw that up. They had the deal done, but were just pricking around.
Oh, the Spurs. Well, that's why John Duggan's so crestfallen in the office.
I totally understand that. Mm. It's like, this guy, really good. Oh, you're going to watch it?
Ara, who are you seeing the back of?
I do think Leeds and Sunderland will stay up. I've been saying that for a while. So I think Burnley will be 20th. Straight away. I think Brentford will go down. Wolves. Yeah.
Who's third?
Burnley.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's your signing of the season?
Signing of the season.
Our player of the season, sorry. Which is different to signing.
Yeah. If I'm going City. I will go Reinders, why not? I don't want to say Haaland.
He's one game in. You see, the thing about you two here is you've had a game benefit. We went in blind last Friday. Yeah. We were brave about it.
Yeah,
Reinders is a great debut. He's player of the season.
Yeah.
So this is what happens in football these days. And who's getting sacked first?
Who's getting sacked? I really don't want it to be, but I think it will be.
Don't say that. Okay, don't finish that.
I think it will be our boy Keith. I really don't want it to be, though.
Boots?
Yeah, so we we have this thing coming up very soon where you'll find out which of us is the best.
We have a bit of a promo, though.
Putative NFL.
Do you actually have a short video? We played the video?
Yeah.
Try not to hurt yourself.
Why didn't they do it? Charlie's
effective. You got it done.
A little bit after.
Straightforward.
Oh, nice. Some smooth fucking connection there. Beautiful.
they're all little chip shots for them, whereas I'm like at the summit of my limit of my powers.
Oh, why do you have to be like that, Colm? Swearing at 8:04 in the morning.
I thought they'd bleep it out, but I'm just a team player. I was very happy for my teammates.
So that nearly killed me. My shins still have not recovered.
You were in bits after.
Yeah, I have bad shin splints. I've had them for 30 years at this stage, and it's not going to get fixed. So never run, never walk on hard ground. I had these moldies on, and one of the lads there was like, oh, those boots are worth an awful lot of money. I'm like, are they? I don't know. They're Puma something or others. The only marking on them says the word speed inside, which obviously it's ironic when I wear them because there ain't no speed there. But also it did hurt your foot because the American football is so heavy.
So heavy.
Oh.
It's so heavy.
But it's not heavy. It's just
hard.
Extremely hard.
Rock
it's
hard.
Like a shell. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that it's heavy. It's brutal.
It's heavy on the foot, I tell you. Yeah. These. So you're thinking about cashing in on the boots, are you?
In the wintertime, the American footballers all take Viagra to keep the blood flowing. It was like the ball had taken Viagra.
Maybe.
I'm not cashing in on the boots, but if anybody maybe wants to make an offer.
You can do what you want these days. Yeah, so we all bought our boots.
Yeah.
So I got these in 2012. I love boots.
How do you know you got them in 2012? How do you remember?
Because I got them the year they were out, and I looked up the year. These are called, can you get a close up here?
I remember them coming out, actually.
Can you get a close up on these boots? Thank you. These are called the Adidas Predator LZ football boots. They're blue, for people who can't see. And the Predator part is kind of orange.
Trim of orange, bit. Yeah.
Studs are orange too. This is what I wore in that video, as we all did, with these respective boots.
And red,
I looked at the value of these, which is hard to find. They estimate that they're worth €250 now, but there's no way I'd pay €250 for them. Absolutely no chance I would have had that money to pay.
But who's spending money on vintage football boots for not wearing?
It's a huge industry out there. Sure, like our own Richie McCormick is a big sneaker freak, as he would say himself.
Yeah.
And he has a collection of runners that he has at home that he won't wear for a long time. Like, he just loves, people love collecting this stuff. We did a piece on the now expired Team 33 a few years ago about football boots, and there was a massive reaction to it.
Charlotte Regan collects the Nikes as well.
That's right. There's some boots from the early 2000s I have such fond memories of, like the Predators.
Do you have other football boots, or you have one pair and that's it?
This is the one pair I have remaining, yeah. Mm, but yeah. I still love them.
They're lovely now, I like them.
The Puma King.
Yeah, I like them.
These are too small for me. They're like a one size too small, so I couldn't wear them. If I had worn them, I wouldn't actually have been able to come to work the next day. But these are kangaroo leather from that period. Again, now...
He was getting ready in the car and he was like, which ones do I wear? And I was like,
ghost
style. And you see, you look at the part, it's half the battle.
This one says promotion sample, so we always got sent them in at some point. That's the only marking on that either. So I don't know if anybody wants to buy my football boots that are too small. I'm like...
It's a sad day when an athlete has to sell his goods.
I'm literally hanging up my cleats.
That's sad, man. That's going to be a regret. And what about your all blackout boots, which I like?
All blackout.
Are they Adidas?
They're Adidas Coppa Elites. There's not much of a story behind them because they're probably only like 3 years old. But they're... Let me see the Coppa. I don't know if you can see that. There's a Coppa logo there.
Oh, yeah.
They do the job. They are getting a bit torn up now at this stage.
You wear them all the time?
I wear them for rugby, yeah.
Are they rugby boots?
So you wear them training and games?
Not a Coppa, so like I don't...
Because they're studs, you know, the studs are different.
Yeah, they are moulded, yeah.
Even in wintertime you wear them?
Yeah. They've taken some battering now, in fairness, but...
They're in reasonable nick for somebody who, I think, plays a bit, don't you?
Yeah.
Black boots can hide behind the paint.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Because they're all black, you don't really see the rips and tears. Yeah.
All right.
But they're
see, they could be a museum from the 1950s, and they're also modern looking.
It's such a flex, isn't it? It's like everybody else is going to, I'm wearing fancy boots, and everybody's wearing those like multicolored and Dars comes
that's,
out.
You see, that's they don't age. Like, they're timeless boots, right? Whereas there was another version of these out a year later and the year before. Same with those Pumas.
They're messy boots. Messy as well.
I think he might have, yeah. These exactly, yeah. He might have. Yeah. They're a lovely boot to strike a ball with, though. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very comfortable to hit it with, you know. But you know the way people like just naming out footballers? You know that way? People just love saying footballers from back in the day.
They do, yeah.
Ah, it's kind of like that with boots, right?
Ah. Certain,
like the Vapors, right? The Vapors. When Ronaldo made his debut for United, silver, shiny silver Vapors.
Oh,
they were the world's most uncomfortable boots to wear. They would rip your heel apart.
Did you get a pair?
These are mad money, these things. These would be like, back in the day, it'd be like €150. Which was way too much. I'd never ever going to pay it. But I remember trying on a pair like in the shops. You know, they'd rip your heel apart. The Preds as well from around the same time. Beautiful, like the 2002 World Cup ones. So Damien Duff would have worn them that tournament when he was ripping it up. people will know it. They actually came back a couple of years ago, and they're quite big in the inter-county scene.
The Preds,
yeah. From that, they meant the vintage pair brought them back. But I could be happy out now just talking about that era of football boot for a good 7 hours.
I had a mad pair of Astro Runners in school that were just space, like a picture of space. They were Nike, like they were proper 120 euro or something. But it was just literally the whole thing was just space. Never used them for football because I didn't want to damage them.
That's the thing.
But they were
class.
That's
the lesson, right? If you buy something that's just so beautiful,
but you can't be right.
How can you use it?
Mm.
So do you think you'll have a market for those? Gerard Gilroy's football boots would have a real niche market. Some freaks out there would love that.
I'll take pictures of my feet and put them alongside them, and suddenly the value goes up to like $2,000. Is that what you're saying?
Not even wearing them.
And there's a fetish for almost anything. And Gerard's love of Puma will spread.
8:10 this morning. Thanks for being part of our journey and tolerating the bullshit that you've had to sit through.
This is quality stuff. Like Imro Award winning, probably. Enter this for the Imros.
Off the Ball Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. When will we find out who is our kicking king?
I think
there was a pair of tickets for the Steelers Vikings game up for grabs for the winner.
Yeah, in Croke Park, yeah. It will be coming out, I'd say, in the weeks leading up to that game, I'd imagine. So, anyway.
But a month away.
Yeah, 3-4 weeks time. Right. Yeah.
Daryl Eder actually caught a lot of the footage as well himself and said he'll happily send on anything that we want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.